God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. In the midst of the multitude of words in our daily lives, speak your eternal word to us, that we may respond to your gracious promises with faithfulness, service, and love. Amen. This morning, the reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 17 through verse 23. This morning, I'm going to read to you from the Voice translation, which is a translation of Scripture that frames passages of Scripture as if it were a play. The whole crowd of disciples, including the 12, now designated as his emissaries, came down together, and they stood on a level area nearby. They were joined by an even greater crowd of people who had come from across the whole region, from all of Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal areas of Tyre and Sidon. These people came to hear Jesus teach and to be healed by Jesus of their diseases. Those who were troubled by demonic spirits were liberated. Everyone wanted to touch Jesus, because when they did, power emanated from him and they were healed. He looked across the faces of his disciples. And Jesus said, "All you who are poor, you are blessed, for the kingdom of God belongs to you. All you who are hungry now, you are blessed, for your hunger will be satisfied. All you who weep now, you are blessed, for you shall laugh. When people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and write you off as evil on account of the Son of Man, you are blessed. When these things happen, rejoice. Jump for joy, and then you shall have great reward in heaven. For at that moment you are experiencing what the ancient prophets did when they were similarly treated by ancestors of your detractors." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So these last couple of weeks, we've heard different call stories. First from the prophet Jeremiah, then from Luke, as Jesus called out Simon, Peter, James, and John, those sons of Zebedee. This week, the lectionary has us starting just after a call story. You see, Jesus has just gotten in trouble with those religious leaders at the start of Luke 6 for doing what Jesus does best, healing, only this time it was on the Sabbath. And Jesus has just called out 12 apostles as emissaries. They got a promotion from being a disciple to being an emissary. The Voice puts it this way: they are no longer disciples, which means learners or students. They are now also apostles, which means emissaries. Do you all remember who those 12 apostles were? Simon, who Jesus called Peter, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, James and John, those boys of Zebedee, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, known as the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and that other Judas, you know, the one who betrayed Jesus. So Jesus and the 12 encounter a large crowd that had come to hear Jesus teach and be healed by him. And no, I'm not going to quiz you on the names of the 12 apostles at the end of the sermon today. But I want you to understand that this is an extraordinary feat. You see, some of these people had traveled for days by foot. Jerusalem was about as far away from Jesus at the Sea of Galilee as northern Knoxville is from us. Can you imagine walking on foot from just north of Knoxville down here to Chattanooga? That's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
I did the math, and
at a reasonable pace, it would take about 38 hours, nonstop. All just to be with Jesus and have the opportunity or possibility of touching the hem of his garment because you know it would heal you. What would you be willing to walk
109 miles for?
The rest of our text this morning is what most of us who have been in church any amount of time know as the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. Usually we read it from Matthew. But what I like about this translation in Luke is that it says he looked across the faces of his disciples. The crowd is no longer anonymous. They are no longer just a sea of empty faces. For me, when I often hear the crowd in Scripture, I just see people, but I do not see faces. But now the crowd has a name. They are disciples. They are students and followers of Jesus and the way. And I often make the mistake of reading Scripture impersonally, as if it's a nice story or a good bit of historical fiction, or all those birth lineages of begetting and begetting and begetting, as if somehow that has nothing to do with my life here in this 21st century. But in this text, in this translation, I am reminded that I cannot read the Bible from this protection of self-imposed anonymity and personal detachment. Here in this text, Jesus looks me in the face and calls me disciple. And Jesus speaks to me words that, quite frankly, at first glance, don't make the most amount of sense. All of you who are poor are blessed, for the kingdom of God belongs to you. All of you who are hungry now, you are blessed, for your hunger will be satisfied. All of you who weep now, you are blessed, for you shall laugh. When people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, when they write you off as evil on the account of the Son of Man, you are blessed. When these things happen, rejoice and jump for joy. Come again. You see, for me, Jesus, just like Jesus, these words hold tension between a world that is now and the world that is yet to come. And when I hear them, just to read them literally, I'm like, come again? Say what? I'm hungry. I don't want to have to wait to eat. I'm hungry now. When I am mourning, when I am grieving, when I am in the depths of despair, laughter does not usually come. And friends, you know what they really did to ancient prophets? Oftentimes they were stoned or exiled. What are you talking about, Jesus? Holding the tension. But you see, when I step back, there is also edge to these words. Because in a context of Roman occupation and religious leaders who were complicit with that occupation, or perhaps even profiting off of the occupation, who were definitely all about protecting their power, these words have an edge and a double meaning. They turn everything upside down. Because life on the underside, in these words, gets turned up on its end. Those who are being crushed and cast aside and persecuted will come out on top. It is the underdog, in these words, that has the victory and the last laugh. Rejoice, Jesus says. Make no mistake, this is political subversion for sure. These are indeed words of consolation, real consolation. You who are poor are blessed, for the kingdom of God belongs to you. You see, these aren't just thoughts and prayers. This is Jesus at his best, siding with the underdog, siding with the oppressed and the downtrodden and those who are occupied, consoling their soul. And in some real sense, my soul is consoled too, because life is hard. Life is so hard and painful at sometimes that it even seems unbearable. We don't go through this life without loving and losing. So these words from Jesus remind me that there is hope beyond all hope, joy beyond all measure. But here's where it gets tricky for me. I have to live in the tension that in most cases, my privilege means that I'm not the audience of these words. I'm not the underdog. I'm not the person living under a state of occupation or oppression, but I am the occupier. You see, my privilege means that I have to wrestle with the rest of Jesus' words in that field that day. All you who are rich now, you are in danger, for you have received your comfort in full. All you who are full now and satisfied now, you are in danger, for you shall be hungry. All you who laugh now, you are in danger, for you shall grieve and cry. And when everyone speaks well of you, you are in danger, for their ancestors spoke well of the false prophets too. Those are tough words. But life is not either or. Life is both and. And I suspect many of us have had the same strugglings. Struggling to hold the tension between hope and foreboding. Struggling to hold the tension between consolation and conviction. Struggling to hold the tension of how best to use our privilege for good and for God. Struggling to hold the tension between have and have not. Between being a disciple of Jesus and conspiring to kill him like the Pharisees. If I did not have faith, I would not have hope. But thanks be to God, all hope is not lost. For we don't hold these tensions on our own, but Jesus himself holds them for us and with us, both of God and of human flesh. And thanks be to God that the Holy Spirit is at work within us as we struggle and wrestle with what it means to be students and disciples on the way, followers of Christ, doers of the word, and not just hearers only. Thanks be to God that it is only God who will hold us accountable and judge us. That God who holds us loves us more than we can ask or imagine or dream, and that loving God holds our hearts and our hopes and our dreams and promises us a deeper, more abundant life in Jesus Christ. And so I have no absolute answers this morning except to say, sometimes scripture is really tough And we got to wrestle and struggle with it. And let Christ wrestle and struggle with it in our hearts. Because as we are disciples on our way to becoming emissaries, we grow. Amen. We move forward. And we don't just stand still. Because God is calling us out and calling us to struggle and wrestle and be made holy and sanctified by God's Spirit as Christ our Lord is holy. Amen.